Good morning. It is Sunday, January the 6th. This is the first Sunday, of 2008, and we welcome you to a brand new year in Christ. This is Straight Gate Ministries. If you have just clicked on Standing Strong in Christ, you're in the right place. We're going to hear that sermon today from our pastor, Pastor Landis Fisher, immediately following a reading from the Old and one from the New Testament, which is our custom. I will be reading again today from the King James Version in both cases. If you're reading a different version, it's probably quite all right. The words may be just a little bit different, but everything else will be fine. If my voice is reaching you, not at our congregation, but through CD or through audio cassette, through our outreach, and if Pastor Fisher happens to be among you and you do not have a Bible, ask Pastor Fisher for one. He'll give you your very own hardbound copy of the Bible to keep for your very own. And in each case, I'll tell you where I'm going to read from so you can follow me along in the Bible. Plus, you'll want to mark those places because during his sermon today, Pastor Fisher will back refer to everything that I am about to read. This morning's first Old Testament scripture reading is going to be from Joshua. This is Joshua 3, and these are verses 1 through 5. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Amen. This morning's New Testament scripture reading is going to be from Acts. I'm going to read from Acts 28, and these will be verses 22 through 31. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed among themselves, not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, Well spake the Holy Ghost, by Esaias the prophet unto our father, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and they should hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart, and they should be converted, and that I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and they had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and perceived all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Amen. On the last Lord's Day, the last Sunday of 2007, our pastor, Pastor Landis Fisher, presented a message for the close of the year, which instructed us for ways that we might be able to make our walk better in this year to come in 2008. Now that we have come to the year 2008 AD, our teacher, Pastor Fisher, has prepared a message to get us started for this year. And this is the sermon which I mentioned that he has titled, Standing Strong in Christ. So, I ask you to please join us and open your Bibles and your minds and listen in as Pastor Fisher presents this special message. Have your tea and crumpets ready. And please give Pastor Fisher your full attention. Straight Gate Ministries, teachingbible.org.com.net is proud to present our very own pastor. This is Pastor Landis Fisher.
Amen. Amen. We give the Lord praise. And once again, Happy New Year. We've said a couple of times this morning. Just want to make sure that everyone has received an official greeting. And we are blessed to be here today. Amen. I just wanted to encourage you for the coming year, because we know that in the world and in life, everyday life, there's always a great deal of disappointment. There's all kinds of things to sour your view on life. Brother Jamerson and I were talking about this a little earlier today, how if somebody gives you lemons, that you should make lemonade rather than being upset. You see, or somebody throws tomatoes at you, see, can you make salsa, you know. Just kidding, of course, but there's always a way to turn a bad situation into something that's good. And we have to take whatever comes our way, and that's one thing we notice about life. Not everything in life is going to be a good thing. There's always adversity. We all have trouble. We all have a measure of difficulty. We have illness, all kinds of different things. We have the temptation that Satan is working against us. All kinds of things come against us in life. Even the youth, they're assaulted with all sorts of temptation and peer pressure and things around them, and then they're trying to decide what is right, what they should do, and what they should not do. And so we see all these kind of things are just a part of everyday life. But the good news on all of this is that you and I, who have heard the good news that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and we have trusted in Him in the name of Jesus Christ. We've recently celebrated, probably at least according to our calendar, let's say we have celebrated 2,007 years since Christ was born. And that's another thing I even noticed. I'm just going to mention this as a side note, and I'll get back on track here. I just heard recently about some legislation somebody's trying to put out to try to remove AD from the calendar. Have you heard that? And I said, I knew it would be coming, because this is one of the things that's been going on throughout the generations, that is an indication of that we measure time by Jesus Christ. And finally, the people who are against Christ have decided to assault even that. I mean, they've already attacked In God We Trust on the money. They have attacked the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. They have attacked all kinds of things pertaining to the Christian foundation of our nation, you see. And not so much just our nation. I always get upset when I hear people talking about America so much, because the gospel is a global message. It's for the entire planet. It's not just for America. But we're seeing it here in America, because we live in what has been classified by some as a post-Christian era. This country was bought up in Jesus Christ, and the reason it is the greatest and strongest nation on earth right now is because of its Christian foundation. And now people think that because we have technology, we can put away Christ and we don't need Him anymore. So they're trying to rub Him out of everything. And I'm wondering how they're going to do it. I got photos of myself that I've personally taken where you can see Anno Domini is engraved in the cornerstones of all kinds of buildings across America. And so it's going to be hard to get rid of it. You see what I'm saying? It would be impossible for them to get rid of it in my heart and in yours, those of us who have trusted in Christ. But this is the kind of hostility that we are seeing, and these things are on the rise. And you and I, who trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ, have to cope with these kind of things. Now, let's go ahead and quickly let the cat out the bag and say the reason people do that is because they're spiritually blind. If they knew what God had done and really understood the gospel, that God has given His Son, who was crucified on the cross, died for their sins, no matter how sinful they are, if they really recognize that, the Lord would forgive them and they'd join the team with us in praising His name. But you see, the fact is they don't see it. And they're like these people who Brother Russell just read about, to whom Paul preached over in the book of Acts. But before we get there, let's go back and take a look at Joshua chapter 3. Because what I want to do today is kind of fuel you who believe the good news to stand strong this year in Jesus Christ. You're going to need the encouragement, not just today, but as you go through the year. You should allow the Spirit of God who's been given to you, those of you who trust in the name of Jesus Christ, to freshen you every day as you go out into the world, as you go into your life. Always remember the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, God has fixed me so that, and I've said this before, people might think I'm nuts because I say this kind of stuff. I can't even look at a telephone pole without thinking about the Christ, the cross. I see the cross in just about everything, you know, and it's on my mind all the time. So I'm constantly thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I love him and I realize what he did for me. You know, he didn't have to do it, but he did. And God has configured time around him. And so now people are trying to even take that glory and that credit away from him. And so you and I need to learn to stand strong in Jesus Christ. Realize that it is God's good pleasure. Even though people are against God, this is the flip side of the story. God is not against anyone. God loves everyone. He'd like to see every person come to repentance and understand the good news, the gospel of his son. And so let's take a look, though. This has been going on throughout all of time. It's not a new thing. It's not a new phenomenon, even though it's being expressed today in kind of electronic terms and all kinds of other terms in our culture, which is so modernized, supposedly. It's been going on throughout all of time. All the way back into the very beginning, people have had animosity and opposition to the things of God. But the people of God have stood strong because it is the Lord who saves them and gives them the strength and the ability to make it through no matter what comes against them. So I want you to see, even in the days of Joshua, remember Joshua is the predecessor of Moses. Moses has died already now by the time we come to the book of Joshua. He has passed the mantle over to Joshua to continue to lead the people of God. They are just about to cross the Jordan River. They don't know what's on the other side of the river. They came out into the wilderness through the Red Sea on dry land. They wandered around the mountain for 40 years. Until Moses died and was buried in the plain of Moab by God himself. And the mantle had now been passed to Joshua. The children of Israel are just about to go through into the promised land. The land that God had promised them, that land that flows with milk and honey. You and I are looking for that also in our lives. We like to know, when are we going to cross the Jordan and come into the fullness of the blessings of God? And you know what? It could be right around the corner, just like it was from the people here in the days of Joshua. God passed the mantle to Joshua. It says here, Joshua rose early in the morning and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan. They're at the place where they need to cross right here now. And all the children of Israel came with him and they lodged there before they passed over. They took up residence right on one side of the river, knowing this is the last barrier. Sometimes we feel like that. We can see that there seems to be one last barrier, one last thing I need to get through. Once I get through this, things are going to be better for me. We can see that break through, and we come to that place and we want to know, how are we going to get to the other side? Well, the answer came to the children of Israel here in Joshua chapter 3 in verse 2. It says, it came to pass after 3 days. Now they get to the place where they could be crossing the river, and yet they lodged there for 3 days. It says here that the officers went through the host. The officers of Israelites went through and kind of went through the people after 3 days, it says here. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. He says, wait until you see God give you the right sign, the right signal, before you make a move. Don't make a move too soon. Some of us are contemplating things in our lives right now. We like to see things move a little quicker, but we need to wait. Learn to wait upon the Lord. And the Lord's going to show you. He'll give you a sign when it's time for you to move, as he did here to the children of Israel. He had the officers go and tell the people to cool your jets. The people were probably anxious. Let's just get on over there and inherit that land, you see. They wanted to cross that Jordan and get over into the promised land as soon as they possibly could. But he says here, you wait until you see God move. When God moves, he's going to send the priests and the Levites, and they're going to be carrying the ark of God. In other words, let God go before you in all that you do. And if we could just learn something from that today, if we allow the Lord to go before us in all that we do, don't do anything till we prayed, sought the face of God. You know, take time. Don't let anybody rush you into a decision. Wait until you hear from the Lord before you make a move. And then we will get the counsel of God and we'll know that we're moving in God's plan. So they tell them to wait here until you see the priests and the Levites with the ark of God. He says, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. Whatever God gives you to do, pursue it with your whole heart. Go right away. Go immediately. Don't wait after God has given you the okay. Get moving, is what he's saying here. Once God has given you the okay, get moving. And he says, go after. But then he says, notice in verse 4, Joshua 3 and 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it. In other words, don't try to get too close, because, you know, they'd seen some terrible things happen when people rushed in on the ark. Basically, at different times, the Ark of the Covenant was holy. It was set apart. It was the box of made of acacia wood overlaid with gold that had the law of God, the tablets of stone that had been written by the very finger of God. Basically, were in the Ark of the Covenant, and Aaron's rod that budded basically was in that ark, and they carried those things as holy relics to remind them that God was holy and that He had given His law, and the law was to be kept separated and set above and the people and all that. And so here he says, wait until you see the Ark of the Lord being carried properly by the priests and the Levites. Then you shall remove from your place, go after it, yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. In other words, keep a good distance from it. Don't treat it too casually. Don't get in too big of a rush. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. In other words, up to now, you've never been this way. You know why they hadn't been that way? Because every time they came around there, they went back around the mountain again for another year, and coming around again and back around in a circle. And they're thinking, well, maybe some of them had thought, well, you know, I've been going around in circles for 40 years. I'm just going to go around one more time. Well, you know what? This may be the year of your breakthrough. You don't know. God might open up that Jordan for you to cross. And if He does, wait upon the Lord. Pray. Seek the Lord's face. And you haven't been this way before, is what the priest said. The message is, this is a new year. This is a new day. You have a new way, and God is going to show you the way. Wait upon God, and He will open up the doors for you. In this case, He opened up the Jordan River, and they were able to cross the Jordan River. Actually, they went across on stones, it says later on, as we see. But God made a way when there would have not been a way at all. So God is able to do that. He's able to make a way. And He'll take you somewhere where you have never passed before. And that's what He says. Now, what is the key? How do we get ready for when God is ready to move for us, you and I? That's the thing we need to think about today. The answer is here in verse 5, Joshua 3 and 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. See, there's going to be one more day. You're going to have to wait one more day. He says, but in the process of between now and then, sanctify yourselves. What does sanctify mean? It means to set apart. Make yourself separate from other things, things that are not holy, things that are not of God. Separate yourself to God. Put your mind in the framework of what God would have you to do. Pray about it. Meditate on who you are and what God will do for you. You know what? Everything that God does for us, He does it by grace. None of us ever have deserved anything that God has ever done for us. You see, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be in His judgment and under His wrath. And so we need to realize everything that we receive from the Lord, we receive by grace, no matter what it is. Even people who aren't thinking about God, they are receiving a measure of grace from the Lord right now. But God would like to have a closer relationship. Now, you all know we talked about that on last week. We talked about closening our relationship, deepening our faith, and our relationship with God. And so this lesson here just tells us to sanctify ourselves. Joshua says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So God has some wonderful things He wants to do in your life and in my life. So what do we do? How do you go about sanctifying yourself? Preparing for the next move of God calls for a time of prayer. You want to pray. You know what? I analyzed my prayer life last year. I gave myself bad check marks all the way down because I don't think I did as well as I could have. Certainly didn't do as well as I wanted to, you see. And so I said this year I'm going to change that. That's something I want to change. I'm not making a resolution, but I'm praying and I'm asking God, tighten up my prayer life. Bring me into closer fellowship with you in 2008 than I was in 2007. Help me to hear your voice when I read your word. Help me to be sensitive to your spirit when you give me things to do, and how I should respond to people in my life, in my family, at my job, in the streets, in the church, and everywhere in the world, you know. And so this is the kind of preparation Joshua was talking about when he told the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You see that? When we get to where we tune in on what God is doing and let His program be number one in our lives, quit trying to do everything our own selves. You know, I looked at all the time I wasted doing stuff and it didn't really get me where I wanted to get. Have you ever noticed that? You look back, you say, I did all that scuffling and running around and trying to get things to work and it didn't work. It still ended up I was not satisfied. See, so what's the problem there? The problem is sanctify yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. If you want God to make a move, sanctify yourself. And then open up your ear. Open up your mind. Open up your heart and allow God to show you the way. You know what? He'll do it. He showed the children of Israel exactly what to do. So preparing for the next move of God calls for a time of prayer, meditation, and self-evaluation so that when God is ready to move, that you can be ready to respond and move according to His will. Okay? So that's what we need to do. Learn to just sit back. You know what? The world wants to push you into things all the time. But you know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? It says as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit of God is not pushing anybody. You know what He's doing? He's saying, come on, follow me. Here I am. I'm going to show you what to do. I'm going to open up the door. I'm going to fix it for you. Don't worry about it. Don't let that get you down. The Spirit of God is leading you. How is He doing that? By the Word and by your seeking the face of God. You know what? He's there leading you. The Bible says He will lead you and guide you to all truth. He's not pushing you anywhere. Not going to make you do anything. You see? But He is there and He's opening up your understanding, giving you the path and showing you the way that God wants you to go. Pretty much like it was here. So sanctification means to pray. And sometimes you say, I don't have time to pray. I understand that. You know what? I'm one of the busiest people I know. I don't know how busy you are, but chances are you're pretty busy too. You know, and so I've had to learn to take this second item, meditate. Sometimes you don't have time to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That means you can pray as you go. As you're on the road, if you're in traffic, if you're in the car, if you're sitting on an airplane, if you're whatever you're doing, you can pray, you know, but you can also meditate. Take something God has taught you and chew on it again in your mind instead of just letting your mind be idle or filling it with something that will take you away from the things of God. You know, meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, and you'll be like a tree, it says in Psalm number 1, planted beside the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, so God has promised prosperity to those who meditate in his law. So since God has fully revealed his will for the salvation of mankind, this is one thing you and I enjoy that Joshua and them weren't 100% sure about. Moses was not 100% sure how God was going to save man. Abraham was not 100% sure. The Bible says they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but welcomed them from afar off. See, they knew God has a plan. God had revealed Messiah, but he hadn't come yet. Before they died, they went to their grave not understanding how God would send Messiah. You and I, we look back with clear understanding, and we know God did send his son exactly on schedule as he promised that he would. Jesus died, rose from the dead. The calendar marks the time for us that he came. And we know for sure he's been here. See? So you and I have a fresher and fuller understanding than the prophets and the angels did even at that time before the coming of Messiah. And so we can look back to it because God has now fully revealed his will for the salvation of mankind. So let us first fully assimilate the gospel to ourselves. That's the first order of business, is make sure you are fixed. Your hope is fixed on Jesus Christ and nothing else. Like the songwriter says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. In other words, I'm not counting on anything but Jesus, because I know by him alone God will accept me. You see, once we assimilate the gospel to ourselves, which is our first order of business, then we want to and then simply stand strong in Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil make you doubt what God has done. That's the first thing that will happen. The flesh will say, well, you know, you're just start talking to yourself. You know how people talk to themselves? We don't like to say we do. And they say it's not a problem as long as you don't start answering. You know, but you talk to yourself, you say, well, you know, you want to make sure that everything is all right with you and God. You know what? God has clearly done everything and he said it before. It's just like we read in Galatians, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, Paul says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. You know, why do you think God sent his son to a grisly cross? And he let it be done in the public. It was a public thing. It was not some secret thing done behind the veil. This was done out on an open hill, out in Jerusalem on a hill called Golgotha. It's written in history that Jesus Christ was crucified and slain and rose from the dead. You know what? All they had to do was produce a corpse and they could have canceled the gospel. But the reason we still preach this gospel is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Nobody was ever found. Everybody who saw him alive. after he had risen after 3 days and three nights. And so we trust in that gospel. We have a full-blown, open understanding of what God has done, and he allowed him to take the debt and the penalty for our sin upon himself in order that we might be free from the law of sin and death. You and I. So we know that. So what we have to do is simply stand strong in Jesus Christ as we confront a sinful and unbelieving culture with the message of God's unfailing love and the great sacrifice that he has made on their behalf. You see that? So we stand in the gap to tell people that good news, that God has made a way for you. If it can help me, a wretch like me, it can certainly help you. The only place I ever got any comfort was from the gospel of Christ. And finally, I want you to see that Paul had the same issue. We're going to look quickly at the book of Acts, chapter 28, in verse 22. This is the last part of the book of Acts. Those of you who study with us in the book of Acts, we went through the whole book. You know, this is the last chapter of the book of Acts. It's chapter 28. Paul has been through all kinds of changes. He is now in a rented apartment, chained to a Roman soldier. Doesn't look like the most greatest of accommodations, does it? He's pending trial, which is going to come up where he'll go before Caesar now because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is how the book ends. It ends with Paul in captivity in a rented apartment, chained to a Roman soldier. And now he is receiving the Jews, who were the formidable people of God, who were, some of them were in doubt about the gospel, just like many of them are yet today. So we come in with Jews here in the book of Acts 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts, coming to Paul's rented apartment, and they say this: "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest." We want to know, what is it that you think, Paul? Why are you here in Rome waiting for a trial with Caesar for as concerning this sect, which refers to the church of Jesus Christ? He says, "We know that everywhere it is spoken against." Everybody's talking bad about Christ. You know what? It was the same then as it is now. Have you noticed that? Nothing has changed. When Paul presented the gospel, it was spoken against everywhere, just like it is now. See, so we shouldn't be surprised if they want to take "In God We Trust" off the money, if they want to take AD off of the date, if they want to say "Under God" out of the Pledge of Allegiance. We shouldn't be shocked. People have been trying to eliminate the true God for a long time. It was going on 1900 years ago. In the days of the Apostle Paul, the Jews were conflicting against it. So why should we be surprised? We shouldn't be surprised at all. But they wanted to know. Tell us about this. So they set an appointment. Here it says in verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. See that? They came to Paul's apartment. This all takes a place in Paul's rented apartment in Rome. See, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. So he was right there in his apartment conducting Bible studies. You know, they were coming in groups as what would fit into his apartment. He didn't have some big cathedral somewhere. He wasn't in there doing rituals. You know what he was doing? Opening up the scrolls and showing them how Jesus was Messiah, right out of the law of Moses, as it says here. He testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning to evening. All day his occupation was get up and start telling people about Christ. Open up the scroll, show them where Moses talked about Christ. Open up the scroll, show them where David talked about Christ. Show them where Jeremiah and all the prophets showed you and talked about Christ. And he did this all day, it says here, from morning to evening. And some believe the things which were spoken, Acts 28 and 24. And some believe not. Same thing happens when you tell the gospel now. Some people are going to believe you, some are not. Some of them are going to go away just as dead as they were when they came in. Others are going to latch on to the gospel of life and be saved. And they're going to join you in praising Jesus Christ. And that's the way it's been all the time. You know what? It's going to be like this all the way down until the second coming, when Jesus, the trumpet sounds and Christ comes into the world to receive the church. It's going to be like that all the way down to the last day. There's going to be people who believe the good news and people who turn their back on it and turn a deaf ear to it. All the way down. So nothing has changed. That's the thing I want you to see. He notices, we're just going to get one or two more slight things out of this and we'll be done, be able to wrap up our thoughts. He says, and when they agreed not among themselves, now they begin to argue among themselves about, is it true or not? See that? The believers and the unbelievers. And after that, Paul had spoken of one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go ye unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear. hear, and ye shall not understand. Seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. God already said that 700 years before, that when the gospel comes out, there are going to be believers and unbelievers. Some people are going to shut their ears and their eyes and not receive it. But some people are. The good news is many of us do, and those are the ones who are saved. Now notice this. It says, be it known. This verse 28, every Gentile, that means anyone who is not a Jew, like me and you, should be really delighted. This ought to be one of your favorite verses in all the world. Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. You know what? People who never had the word all their lives hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and they're saying, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Unbelievers everywhere. Black, white, male, female, all different nationalities, every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. You know, folks who never had the Bible, they hear the gospel, they say, thank you, God. And they're blessed, and they receive it. You see? And so the good news is that there will be those. The gospel has gone out. And Jesus said to his disciples, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He promised to be with us right down to the wire. You see? And so we can still do this. We will still meet with opposition. There will still be people who hate Christ. Even when Jesus is returning, all the way back to take up the church, these things will go on. He says, but the good news, the Gentiles will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came to him. He was there for 2 years in Rome preaching the gospel. And it says here in verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Thankfully, you and I live in a free society. It's getting worse. It's getting more difficult to preach and spread the gospel. But Paul was there. You know what happened after the 2 years? It's not in the Bible, but history tells us Paul went before Caesar, and he ended up with his head on Nero's chopping block. And they cut off his head, and he was disembodied, and there it was. And that was the end of the life of the Apostle Paul. He had predicted that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said that he was already ready to be poured out as a drink offering, you see. And the time of his departure was at hand, he told Timothy. But he said to him, preach the word. You go and preach. Now it's your turn. Same thing is true of us. It is our turn right now. This is 2008. It belongs to you. God has given it to you. You are the blessed people of God. You should go forth and share it in the world with as many as you can. If they don't receive it, not your problem, not your business. But it is our duty and our pleasure to go and share the good news. So let us rise up and face 2008 with full assurance that even though we are weak and unfinished, all of us have work that need to be done in our lives that God is doing. Doesn't make any difference if we are weak and unfinished. You know, Paul was weak and he was unfinished. He hadn't done everything. He said in Philippians 3, he said that I forget those things which are behind and look forth unto those that are before, and I press toward the mark. I'm trying to be everything God wants me to be. But in the meantime, I'm sharing this gospel because I've been authorized and empowered by God to do so. So we rise up, even though we are weak in an unfinished work that our Savior, the Almighty and All-Powerful One, is working on us. In other words, he says, therefore, in our weakness, his power is perfected. You know what? That's where God's power is perfected, is in your weakness and in my weakness, so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so in spite of all that, you and I should face the year understanding who we are in Jesus Christ and stand strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize that it is God's will. This is the way the Apostle Paul ended his life, is in the process of sharing this good news that you and I have been blessed to be. We're the stewards of that good news right now, you and I who believe in Jesus Christ. So if you are here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, do it right now. It'll be the best thing you ever did. It is the way that you can be right with God and know it for sure. And so we just ask you to pray, even if you're hearing me online. If you have never heard the gospel and now you understand what God has done for you and you want to be saved and be a part of the force of good in the world, then pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. We're going to have a closing word of prayer, and then we'll take some time for questions that you may have, those of you who are here. Blessed God, our Father, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for 2008. We thank you that it is the year of our Lord, A.D. 2008. And we pray, Father, that you let there be a fierce discussion about that fact when people try to take it away from the date, that we might be bold to stand up and proclaim the reason why you said it that way. Help us to sanctify ourselves, for we know that tomorrow you will do wonders among us. Father, bless us today. Help us, everyone in this room, energize us with the power of your Spirit. Be with us in our homes and our families. Be a strong resistance in our lives against the things of Satan, the flesh, and the world. Help us to go forward proclaiming the victory in full assurance that we are strong in Jesus Christ, no matter how weak we may be in the flesh. And we thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory. Bless anyone who has never received Christ that is asking him to come into their lives right now. Fill them right now where they are. Bless them and keep them. Let them have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Be with them and bless them from now and forevermore. We thank you, Father. We give you praise and we ask it in the name of Jesus. We proclaim victory for 2008 for Jesus Christ and the gospel according to his name. We give you praise today, Lord, in honor and glory. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Any questions or comments that you have, we'll take those at this time.